Okay, let's get back to Shambhala. Shambhala, it says, we said it was in the second ether and it was a location that can be seen, but then he makes this kind of perplexing statement. The council chamber at Shambhala is not a location or a place, but a state of consciousness within the all-enveloping life. Okay, so he says it's the council chamber itself. Now, Shambhala is a place, but the council, the lives that are present in Shambhala do not represent a place. That's because a person cannot maybe be actually residing in Shambhala, but be a presence there. Just like, let's say, Emmanuel is in contact with the Christ, and he has a telepathic communication, but Emmanuel is right there. He's not in heaven somewhere, but his consciousness is high enough that he's communicating with higher realms, but he's not physically in the higher realms. And that's a little bit what I believe he means with Shambhala, with the council chamber is not a place, but a state of consciousness. Because it talks about these residents of the council chamber as being not only the ones physically in Shambhala, but people of that same consciousness, that they can access that consciousness without being there, so to speak.
And meet on Zoom.
Celestial Zoom.
And presently, Shambhala resides in the second ether, invisible to human eyes. But this will not always be the case. He says this, when these two centers, which is humanity and the spiritual hierarchy, that's the spiritual hierarchy is that which is presided over by the Christ, when they work in full cooperation, then Shambhala will take form and will no longer be found existing in only the cosmic etheric substance, as is now the case. So, the goal is for us to be one with the Christ and his associates. And this will happen through the molecular relationship is one way, and humanity as a whole is stretching forward and trying to obtain the Christ consciousness. That's a good sign also. But when we become one with and fulfill the great invocation, where the plan of God is manifest again on the earth, and that plan means to have direct communication of humanity and the hierarchy. And when this happens, it says Shambhala will take form and will no longer be found just existing on the cosmic etheric substance. So we will have more access to Shambhala as we have access to humanity. And one of the reasons is that there's several occupants of the hierarchy that have access to Shambhala. So we have that link, Shambhala to the hierarchy. And then when we access the hierarchy successfully, so we're one with the hierarchy, then we also have a link up to Shambhala.
Has it ever become physical before in other sort of historical precedents of that? Shambhala actually leaving the etheric realm and becoming physical?
Well, I think in ancient times, the etheric and the dense physical were so close together that people could see them both. And even DK talks about this, the hierarchy once walked among humanity, and you know they could actually see them and discuss with them. And in the Bible, you have a God walking through the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day. It said, so there was a godly type being walking through the garden, and Adam could see him and talk with him.
Would the etheric field be also like labeled as like a veil of some sort, or is it an actual different energy that's kind of like water turns to steam?
Well, the veil is largely produced by our are sinking down into lower and lower vibration. The lower vibration has difficulty in accessing the higher vibration. So back in ancient times, the vibration of humanity was up, even though their consciousness was maybe not as evolved as ours is now. It's like, well, you take a genius with an old computer, he can do a lot more than a person that's not very smart with a brand new computer. So even though we have sunken down to the lowest level of vibration where we are right now, if we have advanced spiritually, we can still do a lot of things that people in ancient times maybe couldn't do.
JJ, have you ever read the book The Land of the Gods by Blavatsky? It's where she visits the masters in Shambhala.
Yeah, I think I did a long time ago.
I just wondered if it was worth getting or if there was enough in it that was in
it. Have you read it?
No, I was looking at it and I was wondering if I should get it.
I didn't really get a lot from it, if I remember right. I put it on audio and listened to it and didn't get a lot of light from it, but I found it interesting.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, what's interesting, it talks about Shambhala materializing. And it says in the book of Daniel that the dark forces prevailed against the saints until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. And then it says this, and I saw in night visions, and remember this is directly from the Bible, the book of Daniel, chapter 7, and I saw in night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came in the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, and all the people and nations should serve him, and his dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom is that which will not be destroyed. So it's interesting that it tells us that the dark forces will prevail against the saints until the Ancient of Days come. And that doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to come in a physical body and rule the earth as some type of king, physical king. But it means that there will be a connection made. And he says the connection has to be made, first of all, to the spiritual hierarchy, which is composed of Christ and his associates. And we make the connection to the Christ consciousness. So you and Christ are one. And then this will provide access to Shambhala. And why is this access to Shambhala so important that it will give the saints power to possess the kingdom for the first time? In other words, in all the past history, the lights come on the earth and they teach and it looks like they're going to accomplish something, and then the dark forces gather and they destroy them and take their teachings and corrupt them and use them for their own uses and then burn at the stake anyone that has a different opinion. Okay, and this happens again and again and again throughout our history, until the Ancient of Days comes. And the Ancient of Days comes with the power of the first ray. And there we will go into, from here we will go into Shambhala and the rays. Now everybody knows there are seven rays. There are two rays that are most important to us, which is one and two. Number two is the ray of love, wisdom. And this is the ray of which Christ is the master of. Number one is the ray of power. And it's divided into three increments of will, power, and purpose. Now, the saints in the past have been strong on the second ray. And the second ray is powerful because the sun, the solar logos, is on the second ray. So even though you are using the first ray or the third ray or the fourth ray, it's a branch of a higher portion of the second ray. So the second ray is always there. There is always, in other words, there's always love to be manifest through any event that happens on the earth. No matter how bad the event is, eventually love will manifest in the end. Even somebody like Hitler, it looked like there was no love there at all, but you have stories that developed out of World War II where great love was manifest, and there was great sharing in the concentration camps, and great love expressed between each other to help each other survive. There was great love there. So love always manifests somehow, no matter how bad things get. But love by itself is not a conquering energy. It cannot put the dark forces in their place permanently. It takes the first ray energy of power, which is wielded by the Ancient of Days. So this is why the Ancient of Days has to come and manifest, because without the lending of the power of Shambhala, the saints will always be overcome. Love alone is not enough to overcome the forces of evil. We need the power of God on top of that. And to obtain this power, we first of all have to become one with the spiritual hierarchy. And then the spiritual hierarchy is connected to Shambhala. They can bring down the willpower and purpose necessary, essential, so the lights can prevail for the first time. Now, wouldn't that be great to witness the lights of the earth actually prevailing over the forces of darkness and with great power?
JJ, who do you say that the Ancient of Days is? I forget.
What's your question?
Is it Sanat Kumara?
Yeah.
The Ancient of Days?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
It's also called the Eternal Youth.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, JJ?
Yeah.
Understanding that there was a Shambhala impact release this year, and it would have, you know, the speculation, at least in some circles, is the 100-year convocation probably happened around the Nisan. But also, I think Philip Lindsay, I'm trying to remember a couple other places where I've heard that, in addition to that Shambhala impact, it's the first time that hierarchy is not an intermediary between Shambhala and humanity. So it's coming in straight.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that a little later, so you're jumping ahead there. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so the rays are important in the fact that the first ray energy is will, power, and purpose. Now, you think of will, when we think of will, normally we think of, like, determination, having the guts to just go ahead and be a strong team player, but will that's connected with Shambhala is more like attunement. You put yourself in attunement to what higher will wants done. And then when you're in that attunement, then the power that you will possess will be very high because you're in attunement. To have the power of Shambhala, you need that attunement with a higher will, and that's exemplified with Jesus when he said, "Not my will, but thine be done." Because we always want to do our own wills, but there are certain times when the higher will manifests to us, and we have the choice. Do we follow it or not? If you do follow it, great power will be manifest. And when Jesus decided to follow the higher will, said, "Not my will, but thine be done," did the greatest miracle then happen after that? Right. The greatest miracle happened after he completely submitted to that higher will. And up to that time, he had possibly not completely submitted to that higher will. He says, there is not in the world of Shambhala, which is of the same nature as the phenomenal world of man in the three worlds, or even the soul world. It is a world of pure energy, of light and directed force, and can be seen as streams and centers of force, all forming a pattern of consummate beauty, all potentially invocative of the world of the soul and of the world of phenomena, and it therefore constitutes, in a very real sense, a world of causes and of initiation. So it tells us here that it's higher than even the soul world. And what's the soul world? That's what we call heaven, or the kingdom of God after we die, or the world of paradise. Shambhala is much higher than that, higher than the solar angel. And it says it doesn't really deal with phenomena in this world, but it deals with willpower and purpose, which is can be picked up by us. It doesn't send messengers down to do stuff for us, but we have to pick up this energy from Shambhala if we want to use it. Shambhala is a place of purpose. It is a purpose which cannot be understood until the plan is followed. And what is the plan? The plan is to unite humanity with the Christ and his kingdom. Okay. And then DK gives us some hints here as to what the focus of the great lives are in Shambhala. He says, they move entirely free from glamour. Their vision is the one of extreme simplicity. They are concerned only with the great and simple duality of spirit and matter, and not with the many forms which the fusion of these two brings into being. Okay, they aren't concerned with the forms of life that and their interplay here, but they focus completely on the spiritual essence of things. And then it's our duty to pick them up. Well, it's the duty of the hierarchy right now to pick them up, pick up these divine ideas and bring them down to earth.